Welcome. There we go. There we are. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in here to this, I guess a special live broadcast. We actually had a different show to put up today with Mimers Brunner, but that's going to be coming tomorrow. And instead today, I wanted to spend some time talking about the Florida bill that just passed regarding a special anti-Semitism bill specifically designed for public schools in Florida. And also kind of bridge out this discussion a little bit and talk about some of the things that happened surrounding the latest, we should say, synagogue shooting in California as well. And I have with me on the, on the line, I guess, on Skype here today, Adam Green, who's back on the show to help us kind of break this down a little bit as well. Thank you for coming back again, Adam, so soon. It's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me, Henrik. It's good to be here. It's just unfortunate it's under these circumstances.
Well, exactly. I totally agree with you. I wanted to bring you on so we could just talk about these, some of these things a little bit because, this is it is concerning for many different reasons, of course. And it's concerning not the least because it's a way of bypassing the First Amendment. And there's already calls, people say, well, it's just in Florida. Don't worry about it, and it's just for public schools, et cetera. But we've seen, Adam, as you know, similar bills already being passed. And remind me again, Trump did a similar thing on free speech on campuses, but it was actually, and they call it a free speech bill, but it was actually to put down the BDS movement, I believe. Was this what bill was that on, a national level or just for one state? Do you recall?
That was the executive order, and I don't know if there was language directly about BDS, but it's laughable that Trump is going to enforce free speech on campus, because if you've seen the Al Jazeera documentary about the lobby, they are infiltrating, spying on campuses, using AstroTurf paid protesters to disrupt events. So it's I'm not holding my breath for any positive things to come out of that free speech executive order.
No, definitely not. And we saw a similar spin on this one. But again, let's just read this here line by line, really, and just talk a little bit about this. So Fox News reported on this Florida passes anti-Semitism bill for public school. And it says a bill prohibiting anti-Semitism in Florida's public schools and universities is going to Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. The Senate unanimously, and that's pretty interesting too. Usually there's some dissent. There's some people that think differently, right? But not on this. So they unanimously passed the bill Monday. And again, reminding us 2 days after a gunman opened fire in a California synagogue, killing one and injuring three others. Lawmakers mentioned the shooting before passing the bill, which would mandate that discrimination against Jewish people be treated the same as acts of racial discrimination in public schools. The bill also includes an extensive definition of anti-Semitism, including speech that makes dehumanizing or stereotypical allegations about the Jewish community. The anti-Semitism definition also includes expressing hatred for Jews, calling for the killing or harming of Jewish people, criticizing the collective power of the Jewish community, or accusing Jewish people or Israel of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. It's pretty specific, Adam, in terms of what they're going into here. And it's also, of course, it's one of those things where many people were like, well, this is good. We don't want this kind of rhetoric or level of things. But the fact is, all of these, most of the things that are mentioned in here are already, kind of against, not all the things, but if you threaten somebody, like with violence or that you're going to kill them or something like that, that's already against the law. The First Amendment does protect quite a bit. There was a case about so-called hate speech, of course. I forget how many years ago now in the United States. But they basically declare that as long as you don't entice violent or actively make threats towards someone, it's free speech. This hate speech ruse that they have kind of roped us all in so we can't criticize and we can't talk about certain things, that doesn't really kind of exist. But why this is significant too, Adam, is of course that it's coming into public schools now. Now it's a government getting involved. Now it's not just some, private platform like YouTube or Facebook that's passing laws where you can't say certain things. So what do you make of a bill like this, and why is it even necessary, to be honest? Because many of the things that they mentioned regarding the threats and obviously, telling someone I'm going to kill you or some of those things, that's already against the law. What's the necessity of something like this?
Well, they've been waiting for a pretext or a justification to enact this definition of anti-Semitism that I've just been screaming about in almost every video for about a year now. And everybody's probably heard the saying, just imagine a people so awful and disgusting that they have to pass laws so people won't hate them.
Yeah.
And this is coming from Florida First, which that's also where this first anti-BDS bill came from Marco Rubio, a senator from Florida, another Sheldon Adelson puppet.
Good point.
And, you know, Trump's got his Mar-a-Lago down there in Florida. The governor, Rick Scott, is a big Zionist as well.
Yeah, true. A lot of things are coming out of Florida, actually. And, of course, we've seen calls already then to extend this to other states as well. I don't really know one of the news reports is. I guess we can listen to it really quick and just see if there's anything extraordinary that they do mention in it.
The state Senate unanimously passed a bill mandating that discrimination against Jewish people be treated the same as acts of racial discrimination in public schools. It now goes to the desk of Governor Ron DeSantis. The bill includes an extensive definition of anti-Semitism, including speech that makes dehumanizing or stereotypical allegations against the Jewish community, as well as criticizing the collective power of the Jewish community or accusing Jewish people or Israel of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. Before passing the bill, lawmakers mentioned the deadly shooting at a California synagogue last week. Matt Urish for CBS Miami.
Now, okay, what's interesting about that is obviously that a foreign country, Adam, being able to criticize a foreign country, really, or the specific acts of a foreign country. This would be like America writing special laws to make sure that no one can talk about the Armenian genocide or won't deny it or something, or something in Bulgaria that happened, and then they have some national thing about that. It's I don't know, it's very strange. We understand the logic behind it. We know why this is happening. But if you look at it at face value, it's very strange. And also this aspect of to criticize the power of the Jewish community. Now, is that an admission that that exists? Or why do you have to pass a law that you can't criticize the amount of influence or power a group would have, right?
Yeah, imagine a small minority group is overrepresented in power, and now they're passing laws that you can't talk about their overrepresentation of power. And this law passes unanimously, just like after the synagogue, 6 months ago, the synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh at the Tree of Life, the House, or actually, I'm sorry, it was after Ilhan Omar said her tweets about dual loyalty and AIPAC and the Benjamins, that the House had a vote where they unanimously voted to condemn anti-Semitism, which they're saying that just talking about AIPAC, like the collective power of the Jewish lobby, you're not allowed to do that. So they totally condemn that. And it also talks about you're not allowed to have stereotypes. So why can't there just be equal protection that you can't stereotype any group
exactly.
or anybody?
Yep.
It's only them or the special protected class.
That's right.
And also they list a few stereotypes, but if this is going to be a law, I don't want to break the law. I want to see a list of every stereotype that would consider a violation of this new bill.
Yeah, I agree. Usually, unfortunately, definitions can be very muddy. Especially when companies do it in terms of service or, you know, these kinds of things. They notoriously do that, obviously, so that if they don't draw very clear lines, then they know that people won't walk up against those lines. It's a kind of an insurance policy to make sure that people stay within the playpen of what they're supposed to do. But when it comes from the government like this, you'd think that it would be very clear definitions of what exactly this means and making sure that the people don't do anything that either intentionally or accidentally break these laws, right?
Exactly. And this whole idea of you're not allowed to be anti something, so that means you must be pro something or you can't say anything at all. This is a free country. But journalists have the right to talk about power or foreign influence or and this other thing where you're not allowed to stereotype. So they say these stereotypes have, they also like to call them tropes or canards or anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. So they say that these tropes have followed them all over the world for thousands of years. So now there's this whole list of things, of negative things that they can do, and now we're not allowed to say that they're doing them. It gives them complete immunity to get away with murder.
It's very strange, frankly. And as you said, also, why isn't there these special protections then for Christians or pagans mm-hmm. or atheists or Muslims or Hindus or anything? It's an effort to circle out a group for unique protection. right? And we could point out other things, such as, for example, in New York and in London, other big cities. You have institutions like the Shomrim, whom some people actually call a police force. I don't think they're legally able to call themselves that, but it's kind of an enforcement community watch group or whatever, which is also very much something a privileged group, I would say, would have, that you can have special protection. They have good connections with the police in New York. In many cases, we've heard cases where there's a handoff approach where the New York police don't do anything. Actually, not too long ago, the head of that organization was actually arrested for raping a 16-year-old girl. You know, so that's kind of interesting in that sense. But again, why isn't every... I thought that everyone was already protected from these things. Like, again, if you make threats towards someone, that's already in the law. What's the necessity of this? Of I mean, it's kind of brazen, frankly, right, to do something like this and say, we are going to issue something which makes sure that we deserve extra protection, because these shootings that have been, just look at the recent attacks, you know, both on mosques but also on churches recently, all over the world. I mean, they reference not only things that's happening in America, but, you know, they reference New Zealand, and then we can might as well tie in Sri Lanka in that and other places, right? So religious violence have ramped up recently. So why just them? That's my question.
All over the place, yeah. There's murders all over the place. There's tons of deaths in Chicago. There's attacks on Christians. There's the knockout game on white people. But one person dies, and they pass a law now that you can't criticize a foreign state. You can't talk about incredible power over our government or in our country. And the saddest part is that Chabad and the people around Trump, they are overt, open, blatant supremacists. They are complete supremacists, and anybody that talks about their supremacy, they just invert and psychologically project that you're the supremacist.
Yeah, that's true. So just a couple of examples. Two dead, four injured at shooting at University of North Carolina, Charlotte campus here just yesterday, was it? Yeah, yesterday. Baltimore, we had a shooting at a cookout, leaves one dead and seven wounded. Why is there no special laws or bills passed or written to protect the individuals that were hurt by these events, right? It just, why? Why?
Yeah, if you can't talk about Jewish collective power, how come everybody can talk about so-called white supremacy? Or it's fine to stereotype white people all day. We've seen BuzzFeed do it every other week with their, you know, their tweet articles and stuff making fun of white people. But now we can't do the same thing. Not that we want to, and I want to stereotype all the time, but it's the principle of it, of the free speech and being able to talk. I mean, they call themselves one people, and I just was watching a video today of a rabbi saying that he's racist, and of course there's difference between races, and they have genetic traits and stuff. And it's just the double standards and the hypocrisy are the biggest crime in the world. And it's a complete injustice.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, we can look at some of these, you know, from the bill as well. What do you think of that in regards to the First Amendment? There was something specifically mentioned about that in the bill, too, I think, right? That, well, it's not going to infringe that. Or what was the line again they used?
Yeah, they go, this isn't going to violate any free speech. Well, it does. If you can't talk about the power of AIPAC or the power of Chabad over Trump in the White House, then you don't have free speech, and you can't be a journalist to report on the facts and the truth.
Well, that's just it. And as you said, many different groups, you know, whether they have legitimate power or not, are questioned, and that should be able to be questioned. And again, it's a special kind of circling in of one specific group. It's also on one extent kind of recognizing that it's a racial group, I believe, right? I mean, from the language used in the bill, it means that I know that you have this question: is it a religion solely? Is it Judaism as a religion, or is the Jewish people a distinct race? Now, according, if we look at the laws in Israel, they consider themselves to be a distinct race, not only just a religion. So it kind of circles that issue out as well, and saying, well, this race deserves specific, you know, protections after these.
Yeah, they're shapeshifters. Depending on the day and the argument, they switch back and forth if it's a race or a religion. And the part about how this it's a clear violation of the First Amendment, but they always lie with the bills and with the headlines, you know, like Homeland Security. So if they say, oh, this isn't going to violate the First Amendment, you know it is. And it obviously is, just like the Balfour Declaration said that, oh, this won't have any bad effect on Palestine. You know, look what happened there. And also the 1965 Hart-Celler Act, when they opened up the big immigration in the United States, they said this isn't going to change the demographics at all in the country.
Yeah, was it the bill includes legislative intent stating that the newly enacted law governing anti-Semitism may not diminish or infringe upon any right protected under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution or the Florida Constitution. The bill prohibits construction of the law in conflict with federal or state discrimination laws. Exactly. So this issue, right? What's the precedent? What's the highest ranking order here, right? Where basically, as far as I know, you know, America still has the First Amendment, and there are things that you are legally can say. I know that there is the issue of what it basically just ensures that the government can't crack down on you if you say something. I understand that, and I know that that doesn't extend to big companies and things like that. Although, while we're on the topic, we should point out this issue, Adam, that, as well as you know, that Google has effectively been handed billions of dollars certain years. Cities and towns pay incredible amount of taxes, and the federal government have handed that over to Google. They're not just a private entity and a company. They're getting massive subsidies. And at the same time, they censor individuals that use their platform, and they block people taking part of the political discourse while they're effectively being funded, not solely, but a lot from the taxpayers. It's hypocrisy.
They're quasi-government, and they're a monopoly, and I think the government likes it that way. So then they can kind of bypass the First Amendment laws on censorship. And I think they set it up that way on purpose.
Yes, indeed. Now, there was a couple of things there. Obviously, this was then in the Florida House of Representatives, right? That's where this was passed. And one of the articles referenced, too, that there had already been a similar bill passed in the Florida Senate about a month earlier. And again, maybe was this the one maybe that Rubio was behind? I can't remember who.
Rubio is federal. This is state government, so this is different. But you know, just like the BDS anti-BDS laws, it was 26 states have already passed their own BDS laws, and this is just the first state. And incrementally, they're going to go state by state, and then they're going to try to push it on the federal level. And they already have this definition of anti-Semitism that is so loose that it basically doesn't allow any criticism of Israel or Jewish power at all in the United States. And they got this definition from a Holocaust organization was able to write it. And I swear, it's probably been 20 videos where I've gone over all of these different terms or guidelines for what they consider anti-Semitism. And it's just insane. You're not allowed to question loyalty. You're not allowed to say that they're racist. You're not allowed to compare them to Nazis. Like, who is to say that we can't see comparisons, similarities, and then express that? They're saying, nope, can't do that. It's absolutely insane. The most supremacist group have taken control of so many influential positions of power, and now they're cracking down on anybody talking about their power. I mean, that's as simple as it is.
And it's just speech. Let's remember that. It's not enticing towards violence. And again, if they insert this language in there, about dehumanization. I mean, my God, look at how white people are dehumanized and they're called Nazis. They're called all kinds of things, and racist and bigots, and they have white privilege and all these kinds of things, right? And we need to hammer that over and over again because it's an immense double standard. But I better watch myself because soon enough you can't even talk about double standards. That's actually in that definition of, was it the State Department that issued the definition of anti-Semitism as well? This is happening. This is my point. Not only in Florida. It's happening on the federal level. It's happening, but in the state, all these different angles. And there was lobbying for expanding this from Florida to other states now as well, obviously.
Well, Trump already signed a bill, too, that includes all the same language for monitoring anti-Semitism in Europe. So
that's right.
So this is already on the books. Yeah, there's the State Department. You could scroll down and see all the things. And another one is their favorite excuse is, oh, yeah, sure, you can criticize Israel, but not if it's a double standard. You can't criticize us if you're not criticizing China or Saudi Arabia or name any other injustices going on in the world. So they're using this double standard argument when they are the kings of double standards. So they're I like to say they're double standard hypocrites.
Yeah, indeed. And again, words, it doesn't hurt. I mean, people are emotionally hurt by anything, potentially, and people are getting weaker and weaker on that level, too. Soon enough, you can't say anything that just, just someone feels offended by. I mean, that's where we're heading.
Dehumanization. Like, they have words like making mendacious dehumanization or demonizing allegations. So they can argue that any criticism at all, or just not even criticism, but just disagreeing with them or opposing something they want to impose on us, they'll call that dehumanizing. Another language they use is, this is delegitimizing Israel. So delegitimizing, that's open to a lot of interpretation. Any disagreement or criticism at all could be considered delegitimization.
Yes, indeed. It's very scary, actually, how quickly it has gone with setting up bills and a legal circumvention of the First Amendment in America. And it's being circled right now, basically. And again, people can say, well, we still have the First Amendment. Well, you have all these laws coming into place now that effectively just bypassing that, and your ability to speak up, to speak your mind, to criticize, to talk about research, to talk about information, facts, theories, talk about conspiracy theories, talk about conspiracy facts. Anything here could basically be chopped on the chopping block next. That's the next level danger in this, too, that people don't understand, that you've hardly heard any criticism about this from the usual suspects and the conservatives and the conservatives, and there's not a word. In fact, there was even an article here. They love it.
The Zionists love it. They pretend to be conservatives, and they're the ones that are all for free speech and the First Amendment, but they love this bill.
Pamela Geller said, this is exactly what is needed for the American Jewish community. Public schools have become breeding grounds for anti-Jewish and anti-Israel hate. Radical and violent left-wing groups such as Students for Justice in Palestine dominate school campuses and have made life for Jewish students unsafe. Well, it's already against the law if they threaten or if someone is violent towards somebody, right?
Discrimination is also illegal as well, too. Discrimination is protected.
Right.
But this
right.
is such a lie that, well, maybe it's true that pro-Palestine and anti-Zionist groups are growing on campuses, but that's for a reason. That's because that's a natural reaction to what's happening. And it may be the student groups are growing, but the faculty and the board members of the schools and the big donors and the media and go watch that Jewish Lobby Al Jazeera documentary, and you will see how much they are manipulating and infiltrating and subverting campuses.
Yeah, indeed. It's remarkable when you look at that documentary. I highly recommend people to watch it. Now, she says here as well, this bill should also, look at the doublespeak, the Orwellian nature of this here. This bill should also go a long way in protecting the First Amendment rights of pro-Israel Jewish students as well, right? So basically, banning them from talking about things which is critical of Israel is now pro-free speech. Talk about what a logical somersault that is, you know?
And, you know, Pamela Geller would, I'm sure she was freaking out and all the Zionists were freaking out over this cartoon, this quote-unquote vile anti-Semitic cartoon.
Yeah.
But she hosted the Draw Muhammad contest. So it's cool for her to be defiant and bold and draw Muhammad and piss off the Muslims. But then when somebody does an accurate depiction of Netanyahu and Trump's relationship, they lose their minds. And I mean, political cartoons, you're allowed to do political cartoons about anything you want except for the people in power.
Yeah. Now, I agree that the university and the college campuses and things like this have become a breeding ground of just kind of fanaticism and just like hyper political correctness. And, you know, you've seen students attack teachers for merely suggesting that it's okay to wear certain costumes on Halloween. The bizarrest thing you can imagine has happened on campuses. But obviously the right path here is not to put a law in place which prohibits free speech. We should go in the opposite direction and open it up more. But again, she's spinning it this way, saying, well, it will protect these groups. No, it won't. It simply pushes a law that says they can't speak up now. That's basically the only thing that happens. And again, imagine someone passing a law saying that you can't criticize white people on campuses anymore. Imagine the reaction in the worldwide press right now, right?
Yeah, and in her twisted logic, maybe she thinks that pro-Zionist students are afraid to speak up because they'll be bullied or abused. Well, if they're abused physically, then, you know, they should be, there's already laws for that. But bullying, I mean, you could say somebody disagreeing with you is bullying. Like, I get bullied all the time in comments and online and stuff. Do I have any laws that protect me from that? Or yeah. Marginalize, you know, they want to marginalize white people and quote unquote white supremacists all the time, but they're the supremacists calling everybody else supremacists. And
again, Adam,
crying about being the victims.
Exactly, and we're back to that point again. Why shouldn't your feelings be protected, right? I mean, again, you under law, you're protected that no one can like violently accost you, or someone can't call to call for murdering you and stuff like that. But if you've had your feelings violated, or you feel dehumanized by the language that someone uses. Mm-hmm. There's no law that's protecting you from that right now, and there probably never, ever is going to be. I hope there isn't. Again, as you said, I wouldn't want that for anybody. It should be free speech and totally open, and everybody can say what they want, and people just simply need to, they need to toughen up. They need to make sure that they don't go to events or something then, that they don't, or people who, so they don't hear them or something like that, right? Same thing with social media. You can block people. You cannot go to their pages. Don't listen to them then if it's so offensive. But now it's this third party that needs to come into the situation and play referee and say, no, that was a bad word you used. You are, and then the question is, are they going to go to jail now? This is approaching what Central European countries have had for decades now, where you can't talk about certain things. And as a European, you know, born in Sweden, I always admired America, and I think a lot of Europeans did, for the First and Second Amendment too, obviously. But this issue that in America you can say the hell what the hell you ever you want, right? And that's changing now. This is going away, and it's beginning with laws like this. And the Pamela Gellers of this world is cheering this on. That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that next paragraph there, where it says, if APEC was smart, they would be focusing on lobbying other state legislators to enact similar legislation. So they want this nationwide. They want it to be federal, and they don't want it just to be on campuses. They want social media to follow this definition, and it's essentially making it so you can't criticize at all whatsoever, which is, I believe, is one of the Noahide laws, that you can't curse their God, curse Hashem, because they consider themselves divine and one with God, so you can't criticize them either. And that's what they're trying to enact and implement here.
Yeah, it's very scary what's happening. And so we can move on here then and talk a little bit about, I mean, again, we can point out that, recalling back to the anti-hate bill that was passed in Congress as well, where it started out as being was supposed to be a condemnation of the comments that Ilhan Omar mentioned about AIPAC, about Israel in that regard. And it basically turned into a bill which was, again, for the now it was just the singling out of white people, in the sense that they were not the group mentioned in the bill. It was seeking to protect everyone except white people. So we're seeing this attack, if you will, from certain, from all different kinds of angles right now. And it's moved, what, the last year, I'd say? I mean, especially since Trump came in, actually. But last few months, Adam, this has vehemently picked up pace.
Yeah, the beginning of 2018, I was starting to see all the headlines building up to this anti-Semitism hysteria. And just after the first synagogue attack, I said, just wait for another one, and they're just going to keep pushing it more and more. And there'll probably be more, which I completely condemn, obviously. This is the worst possible thing imaginable. It's exactly what the ADL wants. It's exactly what AIPAC wants. It's exactly what Trump and this new anti-Semitism envoy czar wants. By the way, Elon Carr, the new anti-Semitism czar, which, why don't we have a white czar and a Chinese czar to protect them right from all this stuff? You know, it's only one special protected group. He's in close and works closely with Chabad Lubavitch, who is this synagogue that was recently attacked.
Yeah, that's right. So why don't we switch over and talk about that? Because obviously it comes very conveniently in connection with these new laws and things that comes into place. And you know, this article pointed out that too. The 2 days after the deadly synagogue shooting, Florida Senate passes anti-Semitism bill, and it goes through some of that of what happened in California. And I don't know what your thoughts about this is, but I kind of had the same feeling as I did after the New Zealand shooting that I do have a lot of questions. It's very, well, it's just very convenient, isn't it, that this happens at this with this timing. And it's also very strange, I think, with the supposed manifesto that was released and stuff like that in terms of some of the, I guess, language used. And it's we've seen a new, how do I term this? A creation almost of a new kind of individual that is being that's performing these kinds of attacks and shootings and stuff like that, which has been almost streamlined to being stemming from internet culture, and so that the establishment can jump on the opportunity to control, you know, websites and stuff like that too. I mean, in Australia specifically and New Zealand, we saw they were on an ISP level blocking people's ability to go to 4chan and 8chan, even Zero Hedge was banned, Kiwi Farms, and a number of other places as well. But what was your take on this in California, this latest shooting?
It was the pretext that they wanted so that they could implement these laws. You know, like Florida goes like, oh, well, because of this shooting, you know, we have to pass this. But they've been trying to pass this for a long time now. They've had this in the pipeline, ready to go, ready to come out. The ADL, Jonathan Greenblatt, is just all over the news saying social media needs to do more censorship, more action, pass more laws. Yeah, there we have one. And he says, myths. There's not an honest conversation. They want more censorship, and they want to shut down 8chan, shut down Gab, shut down any alternatives to the monopoly social media platform that they control, because the ADL works with Twitter, works with Google, works with Facebook. Yeah. And they got to shut down any alternatives. And this is exactly what they wanted. And I see, you know, I've gotten a few comments, and I've heard people saying that, like, you know, the people that criticize Jewish supremacy or criticize Israel, that they like this attack, that this is because of them, couldn't be any further than the truth. This is the worst possible thing to happen. In fact, Chabad and all these groups, this is the best thing that can happen for them. It makes them the victim. It gets them to go on the attack on so-called white supremacy. And yeah, instead, the microscope and the attention being on them and their supremacy, they get to point the finger elsewhere. And, you know, earlier this year, I did a video called Jewish Supremacy. I wasn't in the video. It was just clips and headlines and articles of them doing supremacist things. And that gets censored and taken down off of YouTube.
Yeah,
it's a clear double standard.
You can't notice things. You can't connect the dots. And if it's too much information, we got to block that and keep that away, right? And so ironically, at the same time, then, as they kind of alluded to in this bill that was passed, that that there is overrepresentation in terms of the influence levied by the group, who's about 2% of the American population. If you point out that they have then over, too much influence in proportion to the percentage of what they are of the population, then you are wrong, and that's a conspiracy theory. So then they can use all their organizations and their power and their might to shut you down and make sure that you can't say those things, which obviously validates the point to begin with.
They literally say that one of the causes of anti-Semitism is that we're jealous of their success, but at the same time, they're passing laws that we can't talk about their overrepresentation in power.
Yeah, that's right.
It's completely twisted. And another one is the anti-Semitism definition is that you can't talk about their loyalty to Israel. And meanwhile, we got Sheldon Adelson, who funds Trump, funds the anti-Semitism czar, Elon Carr. He openly says, all I care about is being a good Zionist and a good citizen of Israel, but we can't talk about his loyalty. I mean, how insane is that?
It is
insane.
How are
people putting up with this?
Again, if the Danish Americans would have levied tremendous influence over American politics, and they would have made decisions and sitting in the Senate and the Congress and say all of a sudden that we're going to do things which are beneficial to Denmark, the American people would have said, what the hell's going on here? Why are they doing things which benefits the Danish, right? And so,
don't be anti-Danish. Anti-Danish,
that's
though.
That's right. Anti-Scandism. Exactly. I mean, it's – or let's say the Amish or some other subset of a religious group that kind of begin putting laws in place and making sure that they are isolating themselves from – valid criticism. And this is the dangerous part, of course, because they're, you know, again, they're using the rhetoric that is designed and meant to get the support of the majority of the people out there and saying, yeah, that's true. We can't have this hate now. We can't have that, right? But what's happening is that there's an isolation from criticism of behavior and of influence and of the misappropriation of abuse is the better term, abuse of power, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. That's when it gets into really dangerous territory, that you can have people and groups, individuals, be they racial or be they religious or cultural or an ethnic group, whatever, isolating themselves from criticism and then levy their power against other people or things that benefit them. And then when you simply point that out, you end up in the crosshairs and you end up being the one going to jail or something like that. I mean, that's crazy. That's dangerous stuff, you know?
Incredibly dangerous. All this has really gotten me freaking out because I've seen it coming and it just continues to accelerate. And the more they censor, the more that they refuse to have an honest debate on any of these issues, the more it's going to make people flip out. They shouldn't. I don't want anybody to go out and do any violence because that just makes it worse. That's exactly what they want you to do. In fact, they're trying to push people to go out and do attacks like this. And then, so the more censorship, the more of this, it's going to cause people to snap, and that's the plan.
That's the feedback loop, right? You prevent people from speaking about the issues that concerns them, and then over the fact that they can't have a voice, the only action that some of them see, at least those individuals that are, I don't know what to call it, unstable enough or whatever you want to term you want to put on it, that they snap, then they can use those acts and say, see, this is the reason we need more clampdown. And then that feedback loop kind of just continues and continues, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And that's an escalation of the issues. And that's just simply going to be much worse, and no one really wants that. The solution to it that I see is to open up to free speech and free debate and any, you know, let the best ideas win, put everything on the table. And with that, you're going to get some crazy stuff. You're going to get some bad things, you're going to get some offensive things, but hey, that was what America was like essentially built on, this idea of liberty and freedom, that you have, you know, yes, with freedom comes personal responsibility, but at the same time, you can, in America, you can say whatever you want, you can criticize whoever you want. That stemmed from, I think, the desire to criticize the British king, I think, initially, or something like that, right? It was people who held power that they said, we got to be able to talk about this stuff. And now
yeah,
they are
to
terminating.
Be a competition of ideas.
Yeah.
Competition of ideas, but they don't have an even playing field. When we want to have our arguments or our videos or our evidence, they shut it down. They dismiss it as an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. And then, but while they own all the media and they're able to push it, and the ADL, Jonathan Greenblatt, gets to go on every single channel and push his narrative and push his propaganda. But people that are on the other side of the fence, his opposition, have no voice. And look, there it is. There's the H.R. 672 Combating European Anti-Semitism Act of 2017 became law, and it's got all of the same language that's on state.gov that came from that Holocaust group that was at the Jewish Virtual Library you were at a second ago. And it's all the same language, and people need to go read this for themselves. I've done videos on it, too, on my playlist. It is absolutely incredible how they're trying to shut down free speech. And just recently, yeah, Elon Carr gave a press conference and said, oh, well, this is just how we measure and track our statistics of anti-Semitism. This isn't violations of free speech. And then a week later, there's the first law in Florida passed. And this is the slippery slope. Incrementally, they're going to do more and more, just like with BDS, until they're introducing it at the federal level. And you know darn well Trump is already planned to sign all that stuff.
He says
donates to
Chabad,
and Chabad gave him awards all the way back in 1983.
Yeah. No, he says nothing about this. And even when it comes to the extension that he has mentioned about the crackdown on social media, the prevention of people's ability to speak their mind, partake in the democratic process, whatever you want to call it, as corny as that seems in our day and age when it's just total Big Brother everywhere. But that's what we have. We have the ability to speak our minds. Present our case, if you will, of how we see things and why we have certain opinions and stuff like that. Now, that ability has been totally squeezed out by the big tech companies, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and he's done nothing against this. And I quickly wanted to show this. I don't want to derail this over to YouTube and Google, but this is evidence of what happens when they are counterintuitively going in the opposite direction of what people want, right? This is a story here. Actually, let me go over to this one here. From Google, that they were actually losing $9 billion in their market cap as shares plunge at parent firm Alphabet sees more than $66 billion wiped off its value amid advertisers' revolt over harmful content on YouTube. Now, it's actually a little bit of a deceptive headline on Daily Mail here. What actually happened is that YouTube changed so much. They changed so much of their algorithm that they are the ones that basically became responsible for tanking the stock of Google / Alphabet. Because when YouTube stopped having the system which they had before, which is people watch stuff that they like and then they watch more stuff that they like, so they create the ad revenue, etc. What happened is that YouTube is trying to prevent that, and they're effectively shooting themselves in the foot. And they think that, well, this is saving the platform. No, you're literally killing it, right? And this is what happens when you don't have free speech. They end up hurting themselves. But again, that this shows, Adam, it's not about the money. It's about control, right? It's about controlling the narrative. They don't care that they're losing $66 billion in market cap, right? It's amazing.
Yeah. YouTube has added thousands of reviewers to take down problematic videos.
Yeah, borderline content. Remember there's things like that now? And everything that made YouTube great is they're turning on that, which is the YouTube creators. Yeah.
Yeah. Vince from Red Elephants just did a video on this $9 billion or $66 billion loss that they're taking, and how many YouTubers in our genre are flatlining on growth, and our views are down. And they don't care. Remember Owen Benjamin, when he was hanging with the Zionist in trashing Muslims, it was all fine. But then once he starts criticizing the protected class, the chosen ones, he got on YouTube, you can join in and like pay $5 to chat. They took so much money from him and completely demonetized, because it's all about controlling the message, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's talk about this. Again, there's a couple of things which was weird in the manifesto and the things that this kid said, supposedly. I have this distinct feeling that they're really trying to rope in Christians in this too, obviously, because he was citing Bible verses. He was talking a lot about it. Apparently he had a pastor that he posed difficult questions to. I saw headlines like that, for example. But there's some strange...
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there's some other strange things there as well, where... He was talking about, almost like alluding to, well, we're all out, there's so many of us out there, and go on and do this, and you can get away with it, and this kind of language. But then, of course, what happened is, you know, Adam, he actually ended up calling 911 on himself after he had done this. I forget if he had gotten out of the synagogue at that point and was on the road, I believe, or something like that. What's your take on this? Why did it seems erratic and doesn't make sense? The kid.
It's so bizarre. It doesn't add up. He wrote in the manifesto about how, like, yeah, I can do this and you can get away with it and stuff. But then he does this attack, and then he calls 911 and turns himself in right away. And then now I saw that he's pleading not guilty. And the other thing the parents say is that, oh, they had no idea, and he was radicalized online on 8chan You're trying to tell me that this guy was so driven, so compelled to go commit mass murder, but he never uttered one word about any of this to his parents or any of his friends or anything. He didn't decide to start a YouTube channel, and also he had a 4.3 GPA. He was like a genius, essentially.
Supposedly,
he didn't
yeah.
decide to like write an article or do any activism. He just went from nothing to murder.
I know, it's very, very strange. And his story from the NPR of how basically the parents... I mean, again, we know that the media, they misquote and misrepresent, they cherry pick things and stuff like that. But the impression I got from this is that they're basically turning on him. They're, instead of like saying, I know what you said, like, what triggered this and whatever, but it's like, it was almost like there was no desire to really try to kind of understand or anything like that. And I know that that could just be signaling for the sake of the fact that the world is watching or whatever, but yeah, they said he's a part of the history of evil now, his parents said. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that this is manufactured or whatever, but this manifesto, we simply don't know if he wrote it or not. That's the bottom line. And anybody can post anonymously to 8chan and 4chan, and anybody could do anything which claims there are from this or from that, right? What I'm saying is there might have been other motives that are being withheld or something. Who knows, right?
They're so dishonest and disingenuous how they don't discuss any of the legitimate concerns that he may have had. They just go, oh, it's just baseless hate, you know, radicalized by baseless hate, you know, no discussion at all of like actually what he was mad about. And then how they try to censor the manifesto anywhere. Like, I don't even know if we can say the word manifesto without the AI at the ADL finding this video and trying to bring it down. I know for sure you can't even question, quote unquote, YouTube says, well-publicized, documented events, that'll put you in limited state to even question official narratives now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so the kid appeared in court here today. He pleaded not guilty.
Looks held angry.
With bail. Yeah, very stern-faced. The kid, 19. It's just very strange, you know, of just like, supposedly has a high IQ, great pianist, very, you know, knew a lot of his stuff, obviously, in terms of his schooling, education, and stuff like that. I don't know what to make of it. It's just very, very strange. And again, I see the internet and free speech being like the boogeyman here. Like that, oh, they can rope up anybody for no reason. There's
and
no logic to it.
Too.
Yeah, of course. That's kind of part of that, right?
And I didn't see any supremacist sentiments in the manifesto when I read it.
Right.
Just, yeah. But Chabad, you can go all over YouTube. I did a video just this week, Chabad and Noahide Laws Expose. So much supremacy coming from them.
Right. Yep. Yeah, it's very strange. Now, should we extend this and talk a little bit about the ceremony that they had, the vigil,
sure,
as well?
Yeah.
Because, of course, and this is some of the footage from it, but I want to play some of the audio as well. You did a video on this, Adam. Preface this for us. What are we going to listen to here?
Well, you know, the song that I've been playing so much on my channel, the famous Rebbe song from Chabad Lubavitch, "We want Moshiach now, we don't want to wait." Moshiach is the Chabad Messiah that they're still awaiting. They want him to come speedily in their time so that he can come and dwell in the temple that they need to rebuild on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And then they can fulfill all of their Zionist end times prophecies, which includes ruling all over all the non-Jews and having the non-Jews follow their Noahide laws.
All right.
And then they have this singing here and they have Noahide cults all over the world with Chabad rabbis in charge. And now they're having all these people, non-Jews included, sing this "We Want Moshiach Now" song. And there's a famous Chabad rapper named Modest Yahoo who had a song saying the same thing. I want Moshiach now.
Mm.
So it's going mainstream because they say the temple is for everybody. So, and the Moshiach, he's going to be the King of Kings, dominion over all, and everybody is going to have to bow before him. And if not, Maimonides, Benjamin Shapiro's favorite old rabbi, says the punishment is decapitation. That's what it says for people that don't follow the Noahide laws.
Oopsie daisy. Let's listen to this here.
Everybody here, and I don't know, it just was like a pulling, a longing, like a calling that I had to be here.
And before the night was over, an uplift in song.
Am Israel, have no fear. Mashiach will be here this year.
Am
Israel,
this year, huh?
Have no fear. Mashiach will be here this year.
They've been saying that since the 80s.
Have no fear. Mashiach will be here this year. We want Mashiach now. We want Mashiach now. We want Mashiach now. We don't want to wait. We want Mashiach now. We want Mashiach now.
So that was kind of a special.
Take it anymore.
That was kind of a special nod, I guess, in terms of the work that you've been doing and following this, in terms of the rebuilding of the temple, this Messiah that they're kind of waiting for or prepping or whatever it is at this stage, creating or whatever you want to call it.
I know it's been crazy. You guys at Red Ice have been way ahead of the curve of this anti-white agenda that's being pushed and accelerating and unfolding more and more every day. And I've been focusing a lot of mine on Alex Jones, anti-Semitism, Noahide laws, the Third Temple, and it's just all coming so fast. It's crazy. And this happened near where I live. You know, I live near San Diego, so I was like, oh God, am I about to be SWAT team now and blamed, and then they're going to drug me up and put me in court and say I did it and post some manifesto that I allegedly wrote?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that is a good question because it's like, yeah, if we're not allowed to talk about these things or question things or whatever, then basically we could be presented with whatever and we just asked to believe it for what it is because, well, it's because the authorities says so. And then that's how they write history. That's how they make reality, basically. And it's also very easy, as you said, I mean, tremendously easy for not even maybe law enforcement, but let's just talk about the dishonesty of the media. Of them basically all of a sudden saying, well, according to anonymous sources, he was a subscriber to No More News, or he listened to Red Ice TV, it turned out, or something, right? That would literally, you know, despite the fact that we don't advocate violence, we continue to, you know, say that that's not the right way. That's actually why we're talking about these things, to try to prevent the acceleration of it.
We don't just not advocate for it. We advocate against it. It's the worst possible thing they can do. It's what they want. It's what we don't want. So anybody pushing this idea that we influence this, or that this is what we want, absolutely not true. Those people are deceptive frauds.
Yeah. Yep,
sorry to interrupt.
No, it's true. That's what I essentially wanted to say, right? That, you know, we talk about it because we want to try to stop this acceleration. And again, we're seeing that feedback loop of how they're, the establishment is using that to their favor. They're pulling people out of the woodwork effectively by manufacturing, in the same sense as a sting operation, that you're like, you know, you have certain individuals and all of a sudden you have the government handing them, I don't know, explosive materials, or they're driving them to a location, things that they could never put off, pulled off if they were on their own effectively, right? There's an aiding process there, basically. And so then when that happens, they're using that to their advantage and say, see, these people are crazy. We have to protect you from this. Here's all the things we're going to offer you to keep you safe. And then here's the police state on top of that, right?
Yeah, there's a troll in the comments that keeps saying that I'm calling for violence. It's sad the way how deceptive the Hasbro trolls have to behave, so everybody can just, you know, take the Hasbro trolls with a grain of salt. But another interesting thing in his manifesto is he specifically wrote, "This is not a false flag. You're schizophrenic if you right. think this is a false flag." This kid was really smart. He should know that if a lot of people are going to think that this is a FF, because a lot of them are. I'm not saying it is. I would never do that on your channel or on mine, because you know they'll take us down.
Sure.
But
yeah.
So he's 4.3 GPA, smart kid, piano genius, but he's going to write, "This is not a false flag." But then he shouldn't be smart enough to know that if everybody is going to think it is a hoax or staged, maybe you shouldn't be doing it in the first place.
That's just it. Who benefits? Yep, that's right. So yeah, anyway, what else would you like to talk about in regards to this? I do want to go through just a couple of the super chats that came in before we wrap up here as well, of course, guys. But what else have we left out here that you feel is important? Again, my intention with doing this stream with you here today and highlighting this is to see the evolution of the dismantling effectively of the First Amendment in the United States of America. Free speech is being removed. It begins like this. It begins with opportunist, these kinds of horrific events that they're using before even the bodies are cold. They're jumping on it to get political change, to get influential change in their favor. And then they say, well, this is for the best. It's to keep us safe, blah, 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 blah. But then again, what's the next step in this process? It's basically total destruction of free speech. And eventually we won't be able to criticize the establishment. We won't be able to criticize anybody who holds any leverage or power, and that's historically, we've learned that that's when bad things happen, is when dictators and tyrants and despots and everything else begin to crack down on peoples that are trying to speak up, and essentially, again, just saying the emperor has no clothes, right? That's what we're doing here, pointing out the obvious, and no one dares to speak up and saying the obvious, right? So we're that little kid in the audience. And all the adults are like nervous and giggling. They don't know what to do, right?
I like that. I got to use that one. Pointing out the obvious. That's all it is. It's common sense. It's obvious. It's well documented, verifiable. And one other thing is, this rabbi said that we are a Jewish nation. That was a quote I saw, I believe, from your favorite people over there at BuzzFeed. And weird that he says it's a Jewish nation, because this is the idea that they're trying to push the Noahide laws on the whole world, and the idea that it's like, you know, last week when the cathedral burnt down, everybody was saying, oh, it's Judeo-Christian, but now, according to him, he just drops the Christian part. We're a Jewish nation, according to this rabbi.
Yep, that's right. So
and he said, I'm sorry, and
no,
he
go
said
ahead.
That Trump called him, and Trump talked about his love for Israel, his love for Judaism. And people, if MAGA Trump supporters don't see the problem with Trump loving another country, you can't serve two masters. You can't have split allegiance. Imagine me being married with a family and just going, oh, yeah, I love this other country, this other family, and I'm emotionally invested over there, too. It doesn't work that way. You either put America's interests first, and if you're putting other countries, including other countries' interests, you're not putting America first.
No, exactly. That is correct. And again, the sad reality, as you point out, is this issue that we don't hear any of these other supposedly free speech. Again, imagine that there was a law coming into place, Adam, that was about specifically protect, let's say, Muslims or again, even white people on campus or college or anything like that, right? Or it would have been outrage from these individuals and stuff. But now it's like, well, now it's, you know, again, it's just moving the goalposts to whatever they feel is necessary without thinking of the bigger picture.
Yeah, that's a good example. Just imagine if it was like Obama was in office and he had all of these super extreme supremacist Muslims all around him and that they were openly talking about how they want to impose Sharia law on the whole world. The whole country would be up in arms about this. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on with Chabad and Trump and Jared Kushner and all the people, Elon Carr, Sheldon Adelson. It's exactly what's happening. And just complete inversion of the truth.
Yes, indeed. So let's do a couple of these super chats here a little bit. And again, keep it clean in the comments, guys. Again, we've said this many times, but I need to repeat it, especially on YouTube. I know we're broadcasting to DLive, to Twitter, and to Facebook at the same time. And we've turned on the feature that basically auto-blocks. And so, again, it's not us doing that. We're just doing it. I don't have a moderator here with me today to just check. I don't, you know, just the production takes so much effort. I can't keep an eye on the chat at the same time. But I do want to go through your super chats. And, again, so if there's naughty words, I won't be able to say those. So you have to keep that in mind. Use the slur machine, slurmachine.fun. That's the best way to do it, really. But, yeah, anyway, Pamela Cedar Creek. Says, let's all pay a little something at the door, a way to say thank you to Henrik and Lana. Thank you, Pamela. Really appreciate that. She's been kind enough and sent us a lot of super chats for our live stream. So thank you so much, Pamela. We do appreciate that. Indie Debauchery says, when will my people, my brothers, sisters, start getting rights like the, well, there we go, the censors. We know what he's saying.
We all know what we're talking about.
We are treated the worst. And expect the most. Well, exactly, that's true. And again, I don't think, you know, again, if there was a true enforcement, Adam, of human rights, this would be across the board. And if there was a true enforcement of the discrimination laws that's already in place as well, you wouldn't be able to say that white people are the plague on the earth and they're creating bad air that forces everyone else to breathe it. And I mean, again, as you pointed out, the anti-white hatred has been just unbelievable the last couple of years. And the fact is that there isn't any application of those discrimination laws that exist. Whites are not protected. They're the only group that you legally can discriminate against on a racial level, you know?
Just look at a couple of weeks ago when you and Lana were streaming the anti-white nationalist hearing, when there was a panel stacked full of Jewish Zionist nationalists talking all about, and then remember the bills that were going back and forth? They tried to pass this anti-Semitism bill for Ilhan Omar, and then they kind of pushed back, and then they changed the language, so it was like all these other minorities were protected except white people. It's like, I don't know why we're passing laws specifically for certain groups. It needs to be all equal across the board. Otherwise, it should be unconstitutional and racist. It's inherently racist.
And it exposes that it's not about equality. The usage of that concept has just been a way to hoodwink the people that do historically have hold the influence, which is the people that built and founded the country, right? Is a way to bypass their influence, get them to go along with this. But then eventually they are the very people that are going to be bypassed by this, and you're going to see situations, I think, which is unfortunately are as horrible as they are in South Africa or stuff like that. You can, you know, you have a racial discrimination from the point of view of the government where they can confiscate land from you without compensation and have these kinds of ideas, right? So, yeah, they're opening up a can of worms here, you know, but let me continue here a little bit. Nathan Morley says, we want our countries and our, I say it in Swedish, förhud back. Yeah, absolutely. That's funny. Yeah, you know, a lot of Scandinavian countries are actually banning the circumcision act or whatever you want to call it, right? That's pretty good. Thank
Iceland
you,
tried
Nathan.
To do it, and the ADL went crazy and threatened them with media, with their media power, saying that it's anti-Semitic, and then they had to send over a Chabad rabbi to go start up a synagogue over there.
I saw that. It was the first time ever. I actually saw rabbis that encouraged nuclear weapons against Iceland after that, if you can believe it. That's the responsibility of, like, the upper clergy, right? Imagine a priest saying we should nuke this or that country. country, right? Imagine the outrage, right?
And we hear Zionists all the time complain about in Islam female genital mutilation, but then it's just male circumcision is no big deal.
And exactly.
They impose it on countries that are like Iceland that don't have any Jews there, and the whole country wants it. All of the doctors want it, but then they weren't allowed to do
it,
right?
No, they can't do it. That's just it. You are not allowed to do it. We'll nuke you. We'll invade you with the might of NATO if you don't abide by what we want you to do. It's unbelievable.
They threaten to destroy their tourism by their media. They would slander them in the media. That's what I saw.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Works harder, says that feeling when you need laws to stop people from hitting you. Again, it's the absurdity of this issue that, like, you know, I've said it before, but there are laws in place already for the kind of things that, you know, that you're not allowed to do or whatever, but now it's just going beyond. It's unbelievable. Herbert Hildebrand says, an anti-Semite is not someone that hates the bleep. It's someone that the bleeps hate. Think about it. Mm-hmm. It's true. It's that switching of the terminology, right? That, if you want to find out who rules over you, just find out who you can't criticize. It's an old saying, right? All right. Tom Seward says, BDS, the bleep world order. How's the BDS thing going? Are you following that, by the way, Adam?
It's been getting shot down by the courts. The courts, thank heavens, have been ruling it unconstitutional. And hopefully this will be ruled unconstitutional, too. And I just hope Trump loses. I hope all the Zionists lose in this next election, because I'll take crazy liberals over these insane Noahide pushers any day.
Yeah.
Sadly.
And the sad reality is that I think that remains to be seen, but I think that the most of them are lining up, and most of them, although they're talking, you know, they can say, well, Israel should do this or that or whatever. That it's a different thing when it comes to action of actually doing certain things. You've seen a lot of people, the Democrats or even liberals and leftists, that are like, they say one thing, but then if they do get, they get into Senate or Congress or something, they change their tune because they know who does the funding and stuff like that. So, you know, it's, I hear you.
Yeah, I'm worried about people falling for another Obama that pretended to be different than the Bushes and their war on terror agenda.
Yeah. Yep, definitely. Exactly. Patrick, your next super chat here. Patrick Mindehout says just what you pointed out. Three federal judges rule BDS unconstitutional. But again, that could change any time. And, am I following it? So the boycott, divestment, and sanctions, there's always that twist on it. Is it that you can support the boycott that's unconstitutional, or is it the act itself that is unconstitutional, if you see what I'm saying? But again, BDS has been, it looks like it's a movement that they're very afraid of. They've been trying to stop it. And I know that people like Gilad Atzmon have said, well, all the wrong people are controlling it. It's kind of like controlled opposition. But regardless, Adam, it seems that it's enough effective for them to kind of panic about it. That's what it looks like from afar, anyway. Mm-hmm. All right. Hypatia, do you want to say anything about that, by the way? No?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, Hypatia says, game over, boys. If you know what's good for you, you'll find yourself a lonely, big-boned bleep woman. You will thank me 10 years from now. That's funny. Hi, Patia. All right. Eric RBR, no message. Thank you, Eric. Oddright1, we're 1177. Good job, Red Ice. Thank you. Barisha says, every crisis, whether real or fake, they take advantage of. Exactly. Like with disease, often the best solution is prevention. You have your role in containing bad elements, but spreading the good ones. Excellent work. Thank you, Barisha. That's right. Yeah, I mean, again, we don't even have to get into the nitty and gritty, Adam, of, was it a false flag and what? And that's an interesting discussion to have, and that should be had, and we should be allowed to have that discussion or whatever. But I think, again, always what the key and the giveaway is how it's being used. That's the essential thing. Again, getting to the root of the authenticity of something is obviously equally important, but that's almost like a level two kind of step in the process. We have to prevent them from using it and jumping on it. And again, they're also doing that at the worst time imaginable, when people are emotional, when they are upset about stuff. I mean, as we know, that's the worst time to make decisions. You need to have your head cool. You need to relax and be level-headed and understand what the consequences are of what you're doing, not just because you're upset and riled up about something and then make the decision. That's the worst, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Fashu, white souls is a real discussion needs to be had about violence. It's not the answer. But proud of my bowl. Is that a bowl cut, Fashu? Is that what you're talking about? Well, anyway, thank you, Fashi. And Dean Howell says, support Adam Green and no more news. I totally agree. Well, we're on that. Before we round up here, how can people support you, by the way, Adam? Give us the details.
No More News on YouTube, and that's KNOW, Knowledge More News, and then nomorenews.org is the website.
Absolutely great. And do you have a Patreon set up, too?
I do. I'm scared to promote it anymore because I'm scared
the trolls are going to try to
shut it down.
Right, right.
They're trying to shut us down any way they can.
All right. Yeah, I know. I know. It's they're definitely expanding. Any level of criticism, any person, any organization, any media, any alternative outlet that successfully manages to sustain itself so they can continue doing their work is basically what they're targeting right now. All right, a couple of more here. John Sinclair says, long live Henrik and Lana. We love you both. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate that, John. Alaska Powerline Adventures Anchors Alaska. Doesn't say anything, but gives a buck. Thank you, Alaskan Powerline. Dresden Burns says, to learn who controls you, find out you're not allowed to criticize. Yes, as I said, right? First there's Semitism, then comes anti-Semitism. One presupposes the other. Yeah, well, you know, again, it's special rules.
The proverb, I don't know if it's a real proverb, but I've seen it, is that they'll tell you what's been done to them, but they'll never tell you why, which is true in my experience from what I've seen.
Well, yeah, it is true. And you could also use, as a hypothetical thought experiment, you could also say, if you had been married to 20 women or 30 or 40 or something like that, and by the time you're having your 43rd divorce, and at some stage people were like, well, maybe it's something that you're doing. You know, maybe it's not all just the women's fault, or I didn't say who divorced who here, but you know what I'm saying. Like if we're talking about me personally or something, and I keep getting into bad relationships or whatever, sure, at some point you can just ask, well, what are you doing? It keeps failing every single time, right? All right. Netflix TV says, scary to know people in the White House believe in Chabad's apocalyptic death cult narrative. P.S. Look up Metsitsa Bepe. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that. Do you know what that is? Metsitsa Bepe. This one is one of their Noahide laws. Do you know them by how many other? Are there like a ton of them?
Or seven. Just
seven. That's right, seven. Mm-hmm. That's right, I remember that. Same as the rainbow colors, right? And they had the rainbow flag for it and everything, right? People have said it's actually that. The homosexual movement has kind of been piggybacked on that issue, or someone speculated.
I hadn't heard that, but the seven Noahides, they sound benign, but it's all about the interpretation of them and how they're actually going to apply them is what I'm worried about.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some stuff. I did a show on that a while back, and some of it is not fresh in my memory, but it's very interesting about the Noahide laws and some stuff. We have to do something. I mean, obviously, people should check out your videos that you've done on that already, but it would be good.
Regardless
to
what they are, too, the fact that they want to impose them on us is problem enough right there. I don't care what laws they want to have for us. I'm not following their laws. I follow the Constitution. I'm an American. That's the law of the land, not your Chabad Noahide laws that you want the whole world to follow.
Yeah, and again, that's why we're against globalism, because you could have interests and powers and forces that comes in and dictates globally what people are allowed to do, something that's completely antithetical to a certain religion or a certain ethnicity, a certain people, a certain group. Again, the more centralized control and power you have, the worse it is, basically, and that's why we're against it. So Alaskan Powerline, again, no message, sends $1, thank you. Urda Brunner says, what are your opinions on Vari Vikenes? Well, that's kind of a big one right now. I will address it, though, in a different video. I might even do it like in the Flashback Friday or something like that, so I'm not going to drop you on that. But not just for this show. It's too much to bring that into the fold right now. Then Alaskan Powerline again sends another $20. Well, thank you, Alaskan. Very charitable of you. We appreciate that. Pamela again, Cedar Creek. Adam, maybe someone gave that young man that nasty drug from Brazil. Oh, Adam, maybe someone gave that young man that nasty drug from Brazil. That's right.
What? Scopolamine.
Scopolamine.
Devil's breath.
You remember that? Yeah. Supposedly, you could be like hyper-influenced under this thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
There is a documentary on it. We talked with... I forget his name now, so I apologize for that. But I spoke with RTR Truth Media about that.
Tom Lacovara.
Thank you, Tom. He's just escaped me for a moment. I'm kind of tired today, actually. Tom Lacovara, obviously, he brought that up, and I've never heard about it before. And very interesting documentary, and people should look that up, scopolamine and the drug and the fact that, I mean, again, that's like, well, that's a conspiracy theory and that's bonkers or whatever. But supposedly this thing actually worked, and people in Central America has actually been using this to basically create, you know, we have this concept of like MK Ultra, you know, drones basically that can do whatever. But the fact is, this seems to actually be even a more effective version of that, or whatever you want to term it.
There's been no discussion on what this guy, if he was seeing a psychiatrist or if he was on any meds either, too, which very likely could explain his erratic, unexplainable behavior.
That's the other part of it. I mean, people have said school shooters and SSRIs and people are autistic and stuff like that. But again, it's about how the establishment weaves that narrative in hindsight, and they can spin it against whatever organized force that they don't like. And in this case, it's largely the internet. I mean, it's largely free information on the internet. And again, they begin on the worst part of it that they think. I think that they also begin on the roots of what they consider to be actually dangerous to them. So I get that. But basically, they're seeking to pull it to sources online that they think that everyone will agree with and say, well, that's mm-hmm. fine. We can ban that. That's okay kind of thing. But what people don't understand is that then it's anything else is on the chopping block after that point. And that's the real scary part, where basically even, you know, not even the fringes are like there anymore. And then anything that lingered that was more centrally oriented, that will now be the new fringes. Right. And then the legitimization comes for that to be chopped as well. And then eventually you end up with this hollow tube of an opinion corridor and you can't move anywhere, basically.
It's like the saying, first they came for the, you know,
right.
And then they came for the right. They're
coming right. For it's a cliche.
The easiest target first.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cliche, but it's true. Right. To a certain extent. So anyway, JD Ryder says only slaves kneel, only beggars pray, and only the terrorized repent. Yeah, well, it's true. I mean, it's like we see this, you know, when people are terrorized, you know, and you could argue that what's happening is it's terror on so many different levels where you can't, you know, I don't know what you think about this, Adam, but again, when you can't express your opinion, when you can't voice the concerns you have, when no one even in society are taking those ideas legitimate, or even the fact that there's many people, I mean, again, there's no count or whatever, but there's a lot of people that think things, they feel things, they have opinions, which they're not alone at having, but there's no avenue effectively where they can voice them and where they're taken seriously. And again, that's when those individuals feel the only recourse they have is to turn to the only thing that's going to give them a voice. And that's, unfortunately, that's violence, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're trying to make out 8chan to be like a hotbed, a breeding ground for extremist, right-wing extremists. But, you know, I don't ever regularly go on there. I've been on 8chan just when somebody sent me a link when, like, they were talking about me or something. From what I've seen, it looks like a messy bunch of 15-year-olds just, you know, posting and acting stupid and stuff. And on the slaves thing, the slave master relationship, Angelo John Gage, who I know has been on your show, I saw his video talking about this new Florida bill. And that's a point he made, is that slaves aren't allowed to criticize their slave master or to disagree with their slave master. And that's the situation they're trying to put us in now.
Exactly. Well, that's just it, right? They're going for total control. They're going for total rigid control of everything, of the whole narrative. And it's been pointed out before, but it needs to be mentioned again, that they're so weak in their position. They're so afraid of the slightest little quibs of dissent. That they just have to come down with the hardest of whip and cracks on it. And it's almost like that they're overreaching, right? That they're so afraid. Wouldn't it be, just from a strategic point of view, wouldn't it just be better of just kind of letting some of this go? Now it's just like they're bringing attention to it.
They're really scared.
They are, right?
The truth is on our side, and because people, it's clear to see, like you said, it's stating the obvious, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
They're the supremacist ones. I don't have any supremacy views. I don't want to rule over anybody else. I know you guys don't either, even though they try to use that smear against you all the time.
Sure.
And honestly, in a free country, they could be supremacists. If they're psycho and they think they're better than everybody, there's nothing intrinsically like illegal about that. I think it's wrong and repugnant and disgusting. But unless they actually act on that or try to impose their supremacy, then, you know, let them be God's chosen lunatics.
Yeah, and again, it's better to have them out in the open and airing out those ideas so we know who we're talking about and knows who's attracted to them, right? To a certain extent. And I mean, they've said that about, you know, I know that they've said that about like white nationalism and stuff, like, oh, we have to let it be out there, otherwise it goes underground or something like that. But the point is, it's like you have had a shift in the political paradigm so far to the left by primarily the cultural Marxist in unison with the Zionist forces, effectively. And it's moved so far in that direction that things that were just common sense, not even just conservative values. I have an uncle which has been a classic lefty all his life. He agrees more with me now on certain issues.
I said earlier that I'd take the crazy liberals over the Zionists in 2020, but like I was thinking over that, like, oh, I can't believe I said that, because it's so bad on both sides. We're really left with no choice. I think every good people out there that are seeing the stuff we're seeing, you need to step up. You need to step up and you need to get in these people's faces and you need to compete with the, you know, the battle of ideas. Otherwise, you know, they're just going to have their ways with us.
Well, yeah, exactly. And again, why go for the lesser of two evils, right? There's always a better option. I've learned that lesson before, but obviously with Trump, right? I thought he'd be better. He'd be certainly be better than Hillary. And at this point, in terms of some of the things that's happened, that's probably not true. In other regards, yeah, it is true that it's better. But in some regards, it's escalated even more in certain directions, right? Mm-hmm. So, regardless, yeah, I mean, whoever puppet at this point is in power, the main objective, the main globalist narrative is moving forward, you know, sadly. But, anyway, Net Deluxe TV, actually, Urbrunner again says, looking forward to it about the Vardlikiness stuff. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. I'll definitely get back to that. He's an interesting guy. I've invited Varg a couple of times on the show. He just doesn't do that, I guess, or something like that. But yeah, I'll address that at some point.
Cool name.
Vardlikiness. Netflix TV says it's where a mouth is used in circumcision, deadly too. I think I know what you're talking about, the hepatitis and the specific process when the moil when there is blood around that they have actually I don't even know if I can talk about it. We'll probably just be booted off. But yeah, there's a process there. Google that or research that if you want to do more. But yeah, there is actually an issue with hepatitis. Disease is being transmitted in that process.
I did a video on that called Joe Rogan Destroys Circumcision. And I got people really angry about that one. They don't want you going after their blood sacrifice rituals.
Yeah, I've heard that too, and that's why I've been careful about just talking about that. But Netflix TV, I know what you're talking about, and yeah, that's true, I guess. Maddie's Modern Life says Australian nationalist YouTuber here saying thanks. Definitely thank you, Maddie's Modern Life. Dingo Southern says I've never seen so many bleeps in one chat at the same time. Sorry, I'm
yeah,
excited.
You need a mod for sure.
I know, insulating a white man. They really hate you, Henrik. Your effectiveness scares them. Yeah, yeah. I haven't even been keeping an eye on the chat, to be honest, Dingo. It's just I don't have time when I produce the show. But yeah, we need some mods. We have some people who are going to bring on to do that for us. But it's fine. I'm not scared of words, and that's the very reasons why we talk about this issue today. Say what you have to say. Criticize us. That's all good stuff. Whatever, you know, we dish out criticism so we can receive criticism. I'm not a baby that way, and I very few people actually are, right? So it's fine. Words is very different. Like that guy said in the hearing, Adam, you know, too, the only sane guy in the white nationalist hearing that they had. He said, we punish people by their deeds, not their words. right?
Exactly.
And that's what it should be.
And we judge people by their content or their character and their behavior, not by the color of their skin or, you know, who they were born to as well.
Well,
like
if
that
only,
out there for all the...
If they only implemented that, that's the other level to it. If they only actually implemented that, but the fact is they don't. That's the thing, you know? They actually, again, as I said, they open discriminate against white people and no one is saying a damn thing. No one is speaking up, you know, for us, and we can be vehemently attacked, and we can have special rules and laws and concepts against us. And anyway, we've yapped enough about that. But Adam, thank you so much for coming on and for doing
Thanks
this with us here
me.
Today. I really appreciate that. Again, folks, check out No More News. What do you have coming up, Adam, as well, so if we can plug that a little bit?
Oh, I don't have any big plans coming up. I'm just continuing to cover this, the themes, anti-Semitism and the Noahide laws and Trump's Zionist agenda is what I've been covering.
Yeah, let me pull up the site here quick, too. I wanted to do that earlier, but yeah, check out the YouTube channel. Guys, No More News, make sure you're subscribed. And you're almost at 100,000 subscribers, by the way. So
yeah, everybody, if you're not subbed yet, go head over there. I'm
push him over
the
edge. Yeah, push him over that edge.
Before this show on my channel, give me over 100K.
Exactly.
At least so I can show my grandchildren my silver YouTube plaque.
Have you got
yours, by the way?
Yeah, it's standing actually under the, let me show, where is it there? Under the little nice Urm carving I have back there. It's actually standing on that to just get that up a little bit. That's how much I value it, I guess. But it was funny because they said when we got it, you have just received something that could never be taken away from you. And it's like, well, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. So No More News, guys. And also, of course, the website. Let me pull that up here quick.
NoMoreNews.org.
That's right. Little redesign, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I redesigned.
Cool. And you have some t-shirts and stuff right there too. But yeah, again, thank you so much, Adam. Really appreciate you being here today. We're going to wrap up right there, folks. Keep up the work, good work, Adam, and we'll see you guys soon. Take care.
Thank you. Likewise.
Thank you. Thank you.
Everyone's been asking and it's finally back in stock. Red Ice merch is available in a variety of colors, prints, long sleeve and short sleeve for men, women, and children, including the Anglo-Saxon boar, Norse solar boat, they have to go back, red ice eclipse, and something special for the little berserker or shield maiden in your family. All items were made with 100% organic cotton sewn in the USA. Organic cotton means cotton grown without the use of toxic pesticides and fertilizers. So add something new and comfy to your closet while also supporting Red Ice. Head over to redice.tv/store or lanaslama.com and click on the Red Ice banner. We appreciate all your support.
Now, if you're new here, just want to alert you to Weekend Warrior, our exclusive show that we do at redicemembers.com each weekend. News roundup show. We talk about some of the current events, the most important stories. We have a good laugh as well. Laugh at some of the cultural Marxist absurdities in this postmodern age. Check it out if you haven't already. An exclusive show. People love it. They tune in each weekend. They don't miss a single show. It's well produced. There really isn't anything like it on the dissident right or the nationalist scene or the anti-globalist movement, whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much for watching. But again, if you want more, redicemembers.com, Weekend Warrior. Check it out.